I've been reading with enormous fascination, and I have been provoked into having to rethink some of the views I hold about man and nature. A book by Adam Kruse called It's Not About Us, the Bats, Conservation of the Coronavirus and How We Must Reset Our Relationship with Nature. Prompted, obviously, by the pandemic, and it's not the first, and everybody is saying it's not going to be the last zoonotic virus jumping species. Bats are often fingered, and bats have been the reservoir for some of the zoonotic viruses which have reached the human population via an intermediary, which in the case of coronavirus is thought to be a pangolin, although not proven to be so. And the author is with us now. Adam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. It's an honor to be on your show.
And I'm sorry that, you know, this really needs an hour at least to talk about, because there's so much in it, and we have 7 or 8 minutes. Okay, so the problem is, this is a word I always struggle to get correct, anthropocentrism, putting man at the center of everything. You distinguish between strong anthropocentrism, which is, I think, easy to dismiss. That's that kind of Old Testament man is above everything else and can determine how he likes what happens with the animals over which he has dominion. But then you talk a lot about weak anthropocentrism, which is the dominant kind of philosophy guiding interactions between man and the natural environment, and its sustainable development. And I kind of quite liked sustainable development until I read your arguments against it.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, sustainable development and utilization is just a euphemism for this fancy word, anthropocentrism. And essentially what it is that we utilize animals, and we continue to utilize animals for our human benefit, and only for our human benefit. And what has happened with this whole kind of utilization process is that we have created a global catastrophe, in that it has been directly linked to the destruction of nature. And in the destruction of nature, we have unlocked this Pandora's box of zoonotic diseases that has springing from species to species, because their natural habitat has been reduced, and then it springs to us.
So if you the theory, Adam, is that no, you're wrong, Adam. It would be, you know, somebody who believes in sustainable development, because more and more land is being set aside for the conservation of mammal species which have utilizable value, either through being shot or through being photographed or just being gazed at in wonder. And the numbers of even small mammals, you know, oribi and elephant, are growing as a result of the fact that we've put a value to their existence on this earth.
Yeah, so that's the dominant thinking. You know, if it pays, it stays. If it has an economic value, then we tend to grow it. Unfortunately, that doesn't help biodiversity. You know, in South Africa, for example, we kind of fence everything in. We start breeding them. We interbreed them. Buffaloes for bigger horns, lions that have white pelts that the trophy hunters can spend more money in that. But in actual fact, it's the actual biodiversity that we're destroying. And when you talk about smaller animals, those are the ones that are really suffering. So all your amphibians, the insects, everything is starting to collapse around us. Yes, we are increasing the numbers. But in South Africa, I mean, wildlife, mostly, especially in private farms, are pretty much farmed animals. I mean, there's no wildness to them, and there's no biodiversity. And it's the biodiversity, it's this natural habitat that we need in order for all of us to survive. We're basically facing an existential threat.
I was really convinced by your arguments, and I'm now far less excited about sustainable development as I was before I read your book. You also say the answer, okay, so strong anthropocentrism is not the answer, weak is not the answer. You also say that the animal rights approach is not the answer.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's the same kind of concept. It's anthropocentrism, because animal rights tend to favor the rights of the cute, cuddly, the exciting, the charismatic animals, the elephants, the dolphins, the lions. I mean, WWF have a panda in their logo. I mean, they wouldn't get much empathy if they had a scorpion, for example. So we tend to only favor certain animals at the expense of the majority of species on this planet. And that's the problem. And we need to go beyond animal rights. We need to have something that's far more inclusive.
And that is a phenomenological approach to our place in the universe. It is rewilding. It is something akin to the Shona concept of Ukama. That's what you're suggesting.
Absolutely. I mean, Ukama, this is an age-old thing, and it's kind of an offshoot of Ubuntu, where it kind of you look at the entire system, the entire natural community, and we are all interdependent and interconnected with everything. And everything has its place, from the mosquito to the elephant. And so everything needs to be preserved, needs to be respected, and not just slapped on with an economic value, but it's got to have more than that. I mean, this coronavirus has made us realize that it's not just about economics, it's about actually preserving this planet and ourselves.
You talk a lot about elephants in the book, elephants in Botswana, human-animal conflict, hunting, not hunting, economic value versus value in and the animal and culling the old, and you shouldn't do that because they provide an enormous amount of value to the herd. So if we lived in a world where the dominant, the overarching paradigm was this one, how would that situation be handled differently from the way the Botswana authorities are handling it at the moment?
Well, what needs to happen is we've just got to move away from this concept that, you know, we need to make money out of animals. I mean, if they're not making money, then they might as well just go. That makes no sense at all. So we've got to start rethinking things in the terms of elephants. I mean, every member of a herd, even the old males, have absolute value. So trophy hunting any of those animals doesn't help. Culling any of those animals doesn't help. In terms of human-elephant conflict, we've got to come up with different ways to mitigate that. And there are alternatives. You know all about this. You can have beehives. You can have chili bombs. There's just so many different ways of having this. And I don't like this term human-elephant conflict. I prefer a term human-elephant coexistence. Elephants have been on this continent as long as humans have, longer probably. We've learned to live with each other for so long. Why suddenly now are we trying to change it? And this is what we need to get back to.
And I mean, really, as anybody who has even the vaguest interest in the natural world and how we should inhabit the natural world along with the other denizens of it, I really think that this is a book that they need to read. And thank you very much for writing it.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Adam Cruz, author of It's Not About the Bats, It's About Us, Conservation, the Coronavirus, and How We Must Reset Our Relationship with Nature.